Amen. Yes. Feels good to be in his house this morning, doesn't it? Feels good. Feels right. feels good. Sometimes it's tough to get here in the mornings. I'll tell you what, of all the days to get up, Sunday has always been the toughest for me for some reason. I mean, Monday's rough. Don't get me wrong sometimes. But Sunday was always the most difficult to get up, especially if it's raining. If it's raining, then, oh, my goodness. I feel like I want to sleep till like 11 o'clock for some reason. But I love getting up and waking up and like, all right, Lord, it's time to meet with you. Not saying I don't meet with him during the week, but today is your day, Father. And today's your day. I'm going to meet with all my other friends and family and co-heirs with Christ, your sons and your daughters, and we're going to have a great time together worshiping you. Amen? I love it. I love it. Let's just pray, because I know the Lord wants to do some great things today, but I just want to see where he wants to lead us. So let's just pray right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, you're so great. You're so amazing. You're so wonderful. You're indescribable, Father. And everything that you do and everything that you are, we just can't picture it. You're just so big. We can't even expound upon it, Father. You're just so amazing, so big. It's hard for these human minds to comprehend that, and even then we don't really grasp you, Father. Not limited to time or space or gravity or any other of the natural order of things, that you supersede them all, Father. And you made them all. That you never had a beginning. And that you never have an end. Father, we just thank you so much that you want to come today to be with us. That the God of the universe wants to have fellowship with us. And wants to have relationship with us. That's amazing. So Lord, today, we just allow you to do what you want to do today. Because you want to do some great things in us today. We worship you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So while we were worshiping, I don't know who this was for or what was going on. But I felt like there were some people here that were struggling with some loneliness. I don't know who you were, but the Lord really laid it on my heart. Whether it was a struggle with that you felt like you were alone, or whether it's a current situation or something that's happened recently that you just feel very lonely. But I want to encourage you today that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. That he is always there, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what our situation is, that doesn't change who God is. And it doesn't change what he did. That he loves us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross so he could have relationship with us again in an awesome way. And that never changes. Those times of feelings, they come and go. Those situations will happen. But he is always there. And it's only when we tap into him, it's only when we talk to him, when we relay to him, that's where we can have the relationship. And we can have it greatly. Because he's always wanting to talk to us. He's always wanting to meet with us. He's always wanting to share his wonderful things with us. But we just have to go to him. That's it. Instead of going through these other things that maybe are good or maybe aren't. Maybe they're not bad things. Maybe they are not so great things. Instead of going to those things for comfort, for entertainment, for friendship, let's go to him and receive his truth and receive his word for us. That way we will be fulfilled in what we're doing and what we're knowing him. And that way we can move on and know that he is with us. Amen? Amen. So I just want to give a little exhortation for that this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Let's go there. I was praying last night. and the Lord really led me here. Matthew 6:25. And some of y'all know, like, oh, okay, I know where we're going, you know. The Sermon on the Mount. I know where we're going on this, Pastor Van. I got this. And he really highlighted a few verses for me. And so chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, he says. This is Jesus talking. It's in red letters in my Bible, just letting you know. It's on page 1416 if you need to know as well, just making sure you know, all right? Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet have heavenly Father feeds them. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not, are you not much more valuable than they? Aren't you more valuable than a bird? Amen. Feel pretty good about that. All right. Feeling pretty good. You know that big old crow on the side of the road? You're more important. How you know like that? That big old mockingbird that might attack your cat or something? You're more than important. You know? How you feel about that? More important than a bald eagle. And it's illegal to shoot them things. Tell ya, more important. It's pretty amazing. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Nothing. Boy, I know some people, they worry about everything. And boy, if they would live for forever, I think, sometimes. But it says, not even a single hour to your life. And why do you worry about clothes? You see how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, young people, when saying, what shall we eat? Don't worry, guys. I know you guys get hungry. It's okay. I mean, lunch and dinner are very big things for young guys. I mean, it's a big deal. I remember. I was there. I won't say it, 25 years ago. Good Lord Jesus, have mercy. Whoo! Father, help me. I was there. I was like, oh, I need to get all this food. I'm ready to eat. Or where should I go? Taco Bell or Pizza Hut or go here? Oh, they have a buffet over there, you know, Chinese food. I was always thinking about where to eat. But it says, so do not worry about what we shall eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. He knows. And here's where the Lord really spoke to me. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that's where we're going to land today. Pursuing his kingdom and his righteousness. How many of you guys know what it means to pursue? When I was younger, a little bit more hair, a little less gray in beard, a little slimmer. Man, come on. Suck it in, man. Come on. A little slimmer. Back when I was young, there was a young lady that I pursued. She's my wife now. But I pursued her. And I was like, yes. So guess what? If she was studying at the library, guess where I was? At the library. Amazing. How'd that happen? If I was playing in the gym and I saw her going up to the library, what do you think I went? To the library. All right, guys, I'll see you later. You know, great basketball game. I'll see you guys. If she was eating in the cafeteria at lunch at Bible school, where do you think I sat? Close, well, as close as I could get. As close as I could get. I didn't sit all the way over here and just kind of admire her from afar. I knew that. I moved my table stealthily, strategically. She just happened to have an open seat because I told my friend, hey, go tell that guy to move. It's like, hey, is anyone sitting here? Oh, there's no one sitting here? Oh, wow. She's like, look at me. Yeah, the guy that was sitting here just left. I don't know why. Oh, really? Wow. I guess I'll just sit here. Amazing the way the Lord works. I don't know. If I saw her in chapel sitting in a certain seat, where do you think I sat to where? Where do you think I sat next? Next to her. If I'm pursuing something and I'm seeking something, that's what I'm doing. Are we pursuing the Lord? Are we seeking first His kingdom? Now, I understand that we all have things we have to do here on earth. You know, food is very important. Clothes, shelter, those things are very important. But doesn't it say the Lord will take care of you in this verse? Not to worry about those things? Now, we are very blessed in America. Don't get me wrong. We are very blessed. And if you've ever been to another nation, you see how blessed we really are in America. I mean, when I went to India a little while ago, I did not realize this in India, but there is no government assistance for lower income. None. So if you don't get anything, you don't get anything. If your daily living doesn't provide you with food or drink or shelter, you don't get anything. In America, here, you have a lower income, then you can get something. But not in some of these other countries. But our main source shouldn't be thinking about the government or thinking about some rich aunt that we might have or something that might be going on. Worrying about those things gets us nowhere. Because God said He's going to take care of us right here. Now, maybe we might not have the BMW car that we want or the $500,000 house with the pool and the fence, and maybe it comes with a par 3 golf course on the side. You know, maybe when I get all those things, or maybe we might get a McDonald's that's next to our house that we own the property that we can go over there and get food whenever we want. Now, maybe it doesn't say that. Although that would be nice. I'm not saying you can't have it. I'm not saying God doesn't bless, but I'm just saying that He provides our needs. It says that, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. But when we seek or pursue His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Isn't that a promise right there? That sounds like a promise to me, because it is. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Don't worry about it. God's going to take care of us today. Don't let today's problems be a trigger for you for tomorrow. Don't let today's problems be a trigger for you for tomorrow. And I say about your problems, because we all got them. Some are bigger than others, it seems like. Everyone has its own. We can't really compare problems, because everyone runs your own race. Some problems that some people might say, oh, that's not much of a problem, but it really is for that person. And some people might say, oh, that's a really big problem, but it's actually not really that big. We can't judge by problems because we're all running our own race. But don't let your problems trigger you. Because when we get triggered, we cannot triumph. Amen? When we get triggered, we can't triumph. And there's a lot of things that trigger us. Oh man, I could say a few words up here, they're like, triggers. I mean, I can tell you a whole bunch of trigger words. There's a lot of them out there. But don't let those triggers rob you from triumph. Because God wants you to triumph in your lives. He wants you to go for it. He wants you to have these things. Lazarus, as Pastor Kurt was said, wasn't that kind of a trigger? Your friend is dying. He is on his deathbed. You need to come here yesterday. There may be no tomorrow. Jesus wasn't triggered. Even unto death. Jesus wasn't triggered at all. He said, you might see a trigger, but I see a triumph. Come on, somebody. You might see a trigger. When you're looking and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, the triggers that you would normally see, you will see triumph from now on. Let us walk in that, church. Let us walk in that. And when we see those things, those tragedies that happen. So Lazarus dies. I'm just going to go with Pastor Kurt, what he was sharing earlier. When Lazarus dies, it's a tragedy. Oh, and the continue of the story is Mary and Martha come see Jesus. And they're like, oh, if you'd only been here, you could have healed him. If only you had been here. But what did Jesus do? He turned a tragedy into a trophy, didn't he? He turned the tragedy of Lazarus' death into a trophy showing how awesome and how great God is. The manifestation of Jesus. So I want to encourage you today. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Pursue him. Go after him. We pursue a lot of things in our lives. We do. And some of them are not bad. Some of them are nice things. You know, pursue the nicer job, the nicer car, the nicer house. Those aren't bad things to pursue. But let's pursue him first. Pursue him first. And his righteousness and all those things will go unto him. Let's not be triggered by things, by our current situations. And let us not let our tragedies become our downfall. Let our tragedies become our triumph, our trophies. Let's see God move mightily. Amen? It's funny, when the Lord was speaking to me last night, I still crack up about this. And I literally, just the Lord just gave me a joy for like 5 minutes. And I just laughed nonstop about this. And he said, Van, you need more friends that are sick and unsaved. I was like, what do you mean sick and unsaved? What do you mean by that? I was like, I need more friends like that? I was like, that was just funny to me. I was like, wow, I've never heard the Lord say that. That's something very different. Normally it was like, you need to be around people that encourage you and bless you and, you know, things like that. But he's like, no, man, you need to be around people that are sick and unsaved. And I'm like, that is just the weirdest thing ever. Which I crack up about it. But let me tell you, when you're full of the Spirit, when you're seeking first in his righteousness, then those people that are around you that have those triggers and those tragedies, you can bring them up and show them the triumphant will and the triumphant power of a God who loves and cares for us, can't we? We can show a hurting, dying world the best for their lives, the best that they can live in this world, and give them eternity with Jesus, and show them how awesome and how loving our Father is. So, church, the word for this year is make ready. Well, let's make ready then. Let's pursue Him. Let's seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Let's not let the triggers tear us down, but let them be our triumph. Let not our tragedies that happen today and yesterday keep us from the trophies that we can proclaim in His name. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you that you have such great things in store for this house, oh God. For this people, oh God. That, Lord, if you were going to close the doors, you would have already done it. If you were done with this church, you would have already done it. That if you were done with our lives, Father, you would already would have taken us up to you, Jesus. But you have things that you want us to do. You have people that we need to meet and share your love with. You're having us get ready for the awesome move that's going to happen in this house, the awesome move that's going to happen in this community, the awesome move that's going to happen in this state and in this region, oh Father. I thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of this, which is absolutely amazing. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And while we're praying right now, I just pray right now for those in this house, Father. The ones that are in this house are the ones that people in this house know about tragedies and triggers and things that are going on in their lives. Father, right now, we just claim your blood right now. Whether it's healing, whether it's job loss, whether it's emotional healing, whether it's, Father, financial healing, whatever it is, Father, whatever's going on in this house and in the people that we know things are going on, we speak the blood of Jesus. And we say, thank you, Father, that you're about to turn tragedies and triggers into triumphant trophies. We thank you, Lord, for that right now. We believe in you. We trust in you, O God. We thank you, Father, for what you're about to do and what you're going to continue to do in this house. So we're excited, God. We're so excited to see you move, to see more testimonies, to see people walking out of wheelchairs, to see arms grow out that there was nothing there. We're excited to see you heal blind eyes. We're excited to see people that were deaf, that could not hear, be able to listen clearly. We're excited to see, Father, children coming and dancing in this house. We're excited to see you move mightily and give us truth and revelation. We're excited to see people drive by and stop by at this place, Father, at this church, while we're having church, and be so overwhelmed by your presence, God, that they know they need you immediately. We thank you, Father, for these things to come, and even more, oh God. We worship you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, church. Will y'all be blessed? Have a great day. And remember, seek first his kingdom. Amen. Blessings.